Hello.
And welcome to the Sunflower Allotment Podcast.
And this is the podcast for anyone who has an allotment or doesn't but loves growing things.
On today's episode, we will be listening to a fantastic recording with Rosemary, who showed me around her allotment back in October time. And she has a really unique allotment because she is a firm believer on having a wildlife allotment. So this episode is about planning and design, and Peter, you've been doing lots of planning.
Well, trying to. I don't like to plan too much, because I like a certain amount of flexibility and spontaneity. And as we get into the earth, so many people will just say, oh, do you want some of these? I've got too many. And so I love that kind of thing. Oh, I've just been given something.
Yeah, the flexibility.
So I think that's always useful. And then some seedlings don't come up and some do. But I have been doing more planning, partly because the bit of succession surveying I did last year worked really, really well, but I thought I should just have a bit more of a rotation system planned. Morning.
Hi, morning.
Lovely morning it is too.
Yeah.
So really just working around the rotation groups of brassicas, then legumes, peas and beans, of course, potatoes, which should really also include the aubergine, peppers, tomatoes are also part of that family. And the alliums, garlics, leeks, onions, shallots, and then all the umbellifera.
So oh, that's a nice word.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Carrots, celeriac, parsley, things like that.
Okay, the ones that I can't grow.
And of course, actually the alliums can be put in alongside, can be grouped with the legumes. So I've kind of established, I've been meaning to do it ever since I got the plot, but I have actually got the rotation groups sort of under control, three beds, and then each year they just rotate around legumes, brassicas, potatoes, legumes the next year, potatoes, legumes, brassicas the next year. So that's a very loose plan.
Yeah.
But it does mean I've established areas.
Yeah, and it keeps the soil healthy.
It does. And why do we do it? Really to avoid soil sickness. We have got blight in the soil, tomato blight, but you can sort of try and reduce it.
So are you changing or redesigning your plot this year, Peter?
Not really. I've just worked a little bit to establish some clear beds and planting areas, partly because last year I was running out of room. So I wanted to have a plan. And I've been on the plot for a number of years now. I thought, high time I had a bit more of a structure to
it, if
I'm honest.
You have such a productive plan compared to some.
Well, it's just fun, isn't it? And it's also part of having a new challenge and always learning. And I love that about the allotment and gardening. And the other thing I've got planned alongside more defined groups or areas is to have complementary planting alongside.
Yeah.
So that's the other plan. And that's the big plan.
Yeah.
And within those groups, planning things so that as some things come out, the next things go in. Then we'll see how it goes. Like always, a plan is it's an aim, it's an intention. And as we know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So
now,
we'll see.
Peter, let's have a listen to this recording, and then afterwards I want to ask your opinion on sort of wildlife gardening, on the allotment and produce and rules and laws. So let's just have a listen to it first,
because
it's really wonderful.
It is, yes.
What was your name again, sorry?
Rosemary.
Rosemary, and we just bumped into each other because you were cutting down your hazel tree.
Yes. Yes.
And you were saying you've got a totally wild allotment, and I was saying, is it okay if we could have a look around? So whereabouts should we start?
Well, we'll start here, and this is my sign because I wanted it to be even that to be natural. So I've chalked it onto an old rusty thing. So it doesn't, it avoids any sort of sign furniture. Do you see what I mean?
Yep. So your plot, the idea is it's completely wild or natural.
To be so, so natural. I try not to even spend money with it. I have no pesticides, no carting in of manures. It's just natural, sort of to keep it into its sort of like a synchronicity with each other and whatever.
And what motivates you to do it like that?
I'm partly Finnish, and I just love the simple life there.
Yeah.
And so I just want it to be totally natural, that's why.
Wonderful. And how long have you had this plot?
I've had this, I had a plot over there about 1986. Then I had this one, I can't remember now. At least 20 years I've had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Should we have a walk around?
Yeah.
That'd be okay?
Yeah. I did pick some blackberries there. And I'm thinking, I've never picked blackberries almost into November before.
Yeah.
And because September, it says the witches spit on them. But
it says what, sorry?
In September, it says the witches spit on them.
Oh, right. I've never heard that before. Mm-hmm. So this entrance here itself is pretty wild and natural, isn't it?
I know.
It's great.
Know.
No, it's fabulous.
It's partly because people used to pinch things. So yep. I thought, well, I don't really want to be that precious about things, but I just don't want them clear. They think,
well, it's nice.
Because it's looking so wild, they think, oh, no one's on this. So they think.
No, but it's this is kind of Narnia effect where you walk in and then you're in this new land. This it's lovely.
Is, yes, and this is like a room, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But this used to be quite more kempt. But one of my friends decided he wanted to bring some earth in from this, and I'm feeling annoyed in a way, although I'm very pleased to do it for him, but it means that bit there isn't natural. it's had some earth brought in, which is other people would think quite ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that's not something I would think about at all.
But
the way you do it. You want it totally natural.
Because I met a lady who had some wild place out at Lenwade, and she was the same. She said she didn't want the earth destroyed at all. Mm. She just wanted it totally, totally, you know, okay.
And this, the design of your plot, so as we come in, you've got this sort of circular area, which you like as a room, and then you've got this tree here. This is an apple tree, is it?
Yes, and we don't know. We've taken it to apple festivals, and they don't know what it is.
Oh.
I took it to Ely and they didn't know what it was, but it's a sort of a half cooker, half eater, so it's quite a good one.
It feels quite in keeping with your whole plot, the mystery around it.
Yeah, well, didn't want anything in lines or squares.
Yep. You say this is the main part of it?
Yes, because this, I decided I wanted something circular.
Yeah.
So that when the aircraft go over, they can at least see something round.
Right.
Do you understand?
I'm not sure, no.
Because have you seen the old maps from 1920 or something?
Okay,
yes.
No.
Yes, and I thought, well, I want to put something round here.
Yeah.
And I want something round anyway.
So what's the thing with the aircraft, sorry?
Well, just if anything's flying over,
yeah,
it will see on this area,
yeah,
there's a round part.
Oh, I see. So you'll be able, it shows more shape to it if you look at it from above.
Well, not just because of that, no, but I did think it was a good idea to, you know, to see it from an aerial point of view. That it was, and so I made it with the old couch grass, because I only had half an allotment,
yeah,
and that one was totally neglected, and it had that poor old apple tree with bras going over it, but it had couch grass and carpets, and what I did is I put all the clumps all around here to make it into a round.
Yeah.
And then of course I've got the pond for the frogs and nature.
So that's so clever. So when you were sort of clearing that area or cutting it, you put them into heaps and you made it a circular heap.
Yes, because instead of a mound, you know, you have a big mound and you have to do with it, couch grass. And so that's what I did. But then I decided it's turned into, do you know that German word for hurtigurti or something, where you make it with sticks and you make a mound and then you grow things in it. Have you heard of that?
Right, no, I haven't, no.
Down at the Sustainable, they know about it down there. So it looks a bit as though it's unkempt and neglected, and it especially is because I'm normally going away a lot. But it's I'm intending to get it a bit more cleared. And around it, I've put stinging nettles, or they grew anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm pleased about that.
So it's just to describe it, so when you walk in, you've got this circular bank which has been made by the couch grass or couch grass that you've put up, and then it kind of sinks down into the middle, and you've got this pond in the middle, which is lovely. So I mean, this must be incredible for wildlife, because I've heard that just small bits of water can attract huge amounts.
And I've had foxes in the mounds. But they're not there now. And
so it's a bit like an equivalent to a watering hole in a safari.
Yeah, but also I can lie down and look at the clouds, because then the wind doesn't get me. So it's really, this is where we used to have lots of friends here, but they were on hay bales. But we don't come here so much now, because we all collect in a shed over there.
So the way you're describing this allotment for you then is not just about the vegetables and the food, but much more about maybe a social communal aspect, or for enjoyment, or a space where you can have some peace. Would that be about right?
Well, almost right. It is about me sustaining myself with food, because I'm sustaining myself with fruits and apples and logs and herbs and bushes of gooseberries and things like that. So I do it, so I haven't just got little rows of precious little lettuces that I've got, you know, fertilizers on. I didn't want that. I wanted something that was going to grow naturally and reproduce. Like, I used to have lots of chard, and so to see what it does, and all, as an experiment as well, to do it without money, and to do it to see how the ground does grow, how the things do grow, and how you can produce things, even if the council says, what have you got here? But it's hidden. You know, I eat dandelion leaves and things like that, and nettles. So, and they're far better for you than...
So is that something the council have said? They have asked
Yes,
you?
They've said, well, you've got to prove you're growing something here.
Ah.
I was furious.
Were you?
And I put 60 things that I was growing.
Oh, so you wrote to them?
Yeah, I gave them a huge list of what I was doing. I said, don't you ever insult me again. But then another...
So I guess it's, you know, because the interesting thing about the allotments is they're so personal, aren't they, to each different people, in the way that they're created and what you produce. And maybe on first sight you can't see these things, but what you're saying is that it's the joy is in the hidden aspect of it as well.
Well, the naturalness,
the naturalness,
the fact that you can feed yourself, that, you know, with things that are going to go natural, not things that have been put there to, you've got to grow because I'm going to put some fertilizer on you and you're going to get tall and whatever. So there's sorrel there. But because I'm going away, and I'm probably going to be living away, I haven't kept it up as well as I should have done, you see. So it looks more neglected than ever.
You've got some huge rosemary plants here as well.
Now that's, the bees are wonderful.
And this is, so we're just walking towards the back of it,
This is a discovery, and it has red apples. I'm not really a red apple type, but I used to work apple picking, and I used to pick Discovery. So, do you know Discovery?
Yeah, lovely.
So that has a lovely cup of Discovery.
It looks very healthy.
These are... That's a throwaway from the shed, which has, I've forgotten the name of that, gooseberry.
Yeah.
Careless. And these are Finnish gooseberries. Hinnamaki, I think they're called. And they have little red ones on, but they don't produce as much as that one, but partly because I don't always cover it. I don't really like covering for the birds, but I do sometimes.
And then you've got a hammock.
Yeah. Yeah, I use that a lot. When I'm having lunch or anyone wants to come here, friends come here and see.
This is very, very pretty. So it's you've got the hammock tied between two big branches of this lovely big apple tree.
Yes, and it's an old sheet.
It's this tree looks fairly old
this
itself.
This is one of the original Bramleys that was planted here, I think, in the 1920s.
Fantastic.
And it is fantastic. It hasn't produced amazingly this year, but it was in a terrible, terrible state with briars over it. Mm. And my friend pruned it so well, like a goblet, and then it produced amazingly. And I used to keep the apples at home in my shed right until almost the next apples come, or freeze them. But this is chicory, which I love, the flowers. This was my granddaughter's swing, and it's still here, but it usually hosts beans, but it hasn't this year. And it usually looks much better than that. I haven't got round to chopping that bit there. But this is what I'm really proud of. This tree here, I've got at home a pit pot. So I throw I throw any pips, whatever, into a pot and leave it.
Okay.
And this grew, and it's the most amazing apricot. Wow. And I've had 100 apricots off this tree.
No.
And it's the most delicious, huge, meaty, so not meaty, but juicy apricot. Nothing like the shops. But sometimes it doesn't produce so much. It only produced, because of the frost, you have to be careful with, it's an early flowering.
This is huge.
Yeah, but I've got to sort of, with this saw, I've just taken something off, a branch there, and I've got to take it down really, but I don't like chopping into it, but I've got to, in full respect to my neighbours.
Mm. And you said that you were finished. Apart from the gooseberries, is there any other aspect, or maybe it's in the design itself, that you would say is finish and influence?
Just the fact that it's mainly because it's more natural and it hasn't got gaudy flowers around, and I tried to have, do I have any finished things? No. Wild raspberries.
Mm.
Wild strawberries, yeah. They're my finished things, what I think of as finished when I'm picking them in Finland. This is a little pear, and it's delicious.
Mm.
And I can give you one.
Really?
Yep.
That'd be wonderful.
That rosemary ought to be pruned down, but this is a sunny side. So I was going to have lots of sunny things that were needing to be in the sunshine this side. And because that apple tree over there is on the other side of the round, then it's good because it doesn't get all dried up.
Mm. Oh, it's lovely. I love how the path is just weaving under these trees and get the shade.
I couldn't bear to be on a plot where you go up and down. And I know it's supposed to be productive. And that's how they tell you've got to do it. Have these potagers or something, but doesn't do much for me. I have to have something that looks more natural. And
you've got some mint down here.
No, this is marjoram.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Marjoram. I have got some mint over there.
Yeah, it smells lovely. Yeah, and so your approach to a natural allotment is very different to most of the plots that we see.
Yeah, people think I'm odd. They thought that this round, years and years ago, was a dragon's nest.
Witches and dragons.
Oh, I'm a witch. Yes, which really annoyed me. But I just, like the ancients used to have round circular things, didn't they?
Yeah.
So I sort of wanted it to be, and I'm pleased with it. But it does feel good, the trees. But the council don't really want these trees this big, do they?
Yeah, I think you're supposed to only have about four or five trees, aren't you? So, I mean, as you said, you've got lots of friends on the site that you meet with, and I imagine their plots are quite different. How do you clash?
Yes, they are. They know I'm odd.
Do you? I'm not saying you're odd. I'm just saying, do you have kind of conversations and discussions debates about?
They look at me quizzically and think, "Rosemary, what have you got growing?" But then when they come over here, they say, "Ooh." So they do know that I am, you know, I do have plenty of fruit and herbs and things like that. But we try not to talk and get together too much, but because we need to work. It doesn't work like that. We've got friends over there who have a wood stove, and so we're often there.
Lovely.
It's really, really good. They're away at the moment. They're in Turkey, and they said, "Oh, we'll be back soon." So.
Well, I think this is.
And this is another round here.
Oh, okay. Yep, because, I can see that now.
Because I had to make the round because.
Sorry, just say that again. So there's another, it's another round here.
Of the weeds. Ah. And of course, the insects will love all this, won't they?
So you've got big compost heaps, but you've put them in a semicircle to continue this sort of circular shape.
Yeah, well, a round really, it was supposed to be, but it's a semicircle.
So the design is obviously so important to you.
Not really.
No?
It's just that it's happened like that. It's not going to be square.
Yeah.
So it's. I like rounds, and it's just developed like this, really. Like this has made itself into a round, all this sage, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Lovely colour, isn't it, this time of year?
This is my dear little, I call it my kesamuki.
You call it what, sorry?
My kesamuki,
which is
a little Finnish cottage.
Lovely. And it is lovely, isn't it?
And
wow,
we
it's
found
beautiful.
It.
Wow, so this is very different to a normal allotment shed. This is much more like a front room, or maybe not a front room.
It's like how they have in Holland.
We interviewed Stina, who has works with community gardens in Norway, and she told us about how they do it in Norway. And it's just like this. So, how would you describe it? Because it's not like a normal allotment shed. It's a bit more like a summer house.
Yeah, but it's I don't know. It's if you go in, it's very very peaceful. Mm-hmm. And it's very warm, partly because of the polycarbonate, which I don't really like to have polycarbonate. But it's looking very untidy at the moment.
That's lovely. So you've got three or four chairs, a table, and some dried flowers and candles and ornaments around. No, it's lovely.
It's not meant to be prettied up.
No.
It's supposed to be sort of practical and for people to sit in. If anyone comes and they come here and... they can just sit and rest.
It's very peaceful. It's lovely. And what did you call it again? What was the Finnish name for this?
It's a kesamuki.
Okay.
But we found this. We found it leaning up against the shed over there, the allotment shed.
Oh.
And we thought, oh, well, here's another lean things, and I'll put it there. We thought, oh, yeah, we'll have it if no one wants it. So me and two friends, we brought it here, but we didn't realise it didn't have a roof. And then we put polythene on it, and then the wind came, and like an old beetle, the wind took it and blew it over. And then it was sticking up, like his legs up in the air. And we thought, oh dear, but then we weighted it down, and a dear friend found this polycarbonate, which is not nice, is it, for recycling and that, but it's very, very warm in there.
I think it's very practical use of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Better than putting it into landfill.
Yeah.
Well, brilliant. Rosemary, thank you so much for showing me around. It's such a different type of allotment to the ones that we normally look at.
Oh, thank you.
And it's really inspiring. And unfortunately, I'm sort of one of these allotmenteers that has...
I'm dying to see
you. I'm not showing you
maybe
mine.
Maybe you can make me feel a little bit more conventional.
I've got little grids, but for me it's really helpful because I can work at one at a time.
Yes, I understand that. Yeah.
So it's very different, but you've definitely inspired me. And I love this idea about the semicircles and the shape of it and not being so straight. And the fact that, you know, putting the compost in a semicircle, I mean, I've got no end of couch grass and it's gone into heaps and I've put it into different things. And actually, I could have made a design from it. And this sort of circular shape, this feels like something you would find in, like prehistoric sites.
That was one of the reasons I did it as well. Yes, I did. I did it because I wanted to feel as though I was coming, living naturally from way years back, just to worship the it sounds all corny really, but just to worship the land and to sort of not destroy it by saying, oh, that bit's got to be there and I'm going to make this here, this path and that, so that it's like having a bit of respect for the land.
Yeah. I love it.
But the round, it has got sticks in as well, so that keeps it up. But if you look up the German word for it, like Hürtegarten.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to look at that. Thank you ever so much.
Oh, I've enjoyed having you here.
That was lovely. That's lovely.
It really is quite, I didn't expect this when I was cutting some trees down and then you walked by.
Oh, it's lovely. Yeah. No, it's been a lovely half
an
hour.
Thank you.
Lovely to meet you. And yes. I mean, this is the way to my plot, so I will see you again.
Yes, and I'll come to see your plot next time. I've got to go and see my friend who had this allotment and he's not very well.
You just have to wait. I'm going to rearrange my couch grass into a circle. So, Peter, the allotment laws say that we should have sort of 70-80% on our allotment, but I think they're sort of very general, with produce in them that can be eaten. And Rosemary's was, you know, quite a lot less than that. Do you think there should be such strict rules, or do you think it should be up to plot holders? And do you think that actually these spaces are much more about being outside, being sociable, enjoying nature, being for wildlife as well as for us? Where do you stand on that?
The times are changing, aren't they? I think if we think about the context we're in now, when were these rules made? You know, and when was the rule book drawn up? I think the world has changed so much dramatically. Our awareness around climate change and the importance of looking after wildlife, all these things are so crucial.
Yes.
That I think that we have to have flexibility now.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I just think back to that episode we did with Stina and how she viewed allotments and how allotments are seen in other parts of the world where they are different spaces that aren't just about produce.
Yes.
Maybe they're about having huts, about having open gates so people can come in, like parks. Community spaces, much more so than individual leases or rents.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm a bit more like you. I think there maybe the rules should change to include wildlife spaces that mean your produce could go down a bit. Not that you're neglecting your plot, but that you're planting for produce and you're planting for wildlife.
Yeah. And for the community as well.
Yeah.
I think I can understand completely that historically we are where we are because allotments started after the First World War in particular when the real explosion was.
Yeah.
They've been going for hundreds of years before that. But always the aim has been that these are spaces for people who didn't have land.
Yes.
To grow, to feed their families.
And it's important to keep that heritage and tradition. And I saw this week, thanks to Brexit regulation, food prices are going to go up again significantly.
Yeah.
And food has been cheap in Britain.
Yes.
It's not as cheap
too
as other countries.
Yes.
And I think, again, we come back to that episode we did with Claire on cost of living a couple of years ago, that it's important that allotments are there so people can have not free food but close to when they want it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's a really interesting discussion, and
it's a fascinating question.
It should
really be explored much more publicly, and I'm glad through this conversation, we can hear from people, see what their views
are.
Yeah,
it'd be really interesting.
Start a bit of a dialogue around this, because I think if we take the principle that allotments were started, or the real growth in them was about responding to a need in society.
Yeah.
And that was about providing food for families. I think if we take that same principle, but think about what are the needs now?
Yeah.
A massively increased population, a very urban, predominantly urban. Majority of people are living in cities with a little access to...
Yeah.
They might have parks, but I think all that we've learned, particularly since COVID, around the importance of well-being in access to nature and having a relationship with nature, all suggests that we need to think about what are the functions of allotments.
Yeah.
I love growing things, but I really like the idea of trying to be self-sufficient for all kinds of environmental reasons as well. health diet, certainly, but trying to avoid supermarkets as much as I can and all of those kind of things. But I'm also very aware that just how being on the allotment and watching the seasons change and watching, you should have heard me earlier when I saw I've got a number of broad beans that I put in earlier, but the ones that were grown from seedlings at home, the ones that have gone broad bean seeds that went straight in the ground have just popped me. I was squealing with joy. So, you know, it does bring us a moment of huge happiness. Just seeing that come
morning,
up is utterly, oh, it's absolute joy.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, you can't say, I don't know, I don't like the, I don't know, perhaps just the idea that there are hard and fast rules. I think we live in times where we can be much more libertarian about it.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be anarchic. We're not going to have house parties down here.
So anyway, if you're listening, if you've got some thoughts on wildlife, or if you think maybe we're just making too much of it and it should be more for produce, then do let us know. The usual ways on Instagram or Twitter at sunflowerpod1, or email sunflowerallotmentpodcast@gmail.com. Peter, nice to see you today.
Yeah, really good. It isn't the first day of spring, but it really feels like there's proper warmth in the sun, isn't there? And
yeah.
The air is warm and the days are long, so
yeah
let joy always be unconfined.
Always nice to walk around the plot,
or
the sites. It's really, really good for the soul, isn't it? Speaking to people and looking at their sites, getting inspiration. It's just such a nice thing to do.
And there's a little family on this
having a picnic.
Do you know them? Close to yours?
No, I don't.
But that's a lovely site as well. Near me, I know we're just finishing.
Hi there.
But it is part of the dialogue. Is just next to me is Anna, and she brings her group of grandchildren down who don't have access to a garden, and they love gardening.
Yeah.
And she's generating, instigating, nurturing, and the next generation of gardeners. And you know, they're five. What are they? Yeah, four and six.
Yeah.
And they will happily spend the whole day. So it's almost like a playground.
Yes.
But they're learning and they're having a great time. And it's social as well.
Yeah.
You know, then people sit down, as we've just seen with that family, having a picnic together.
Yeah, so it's a nice sight.
The needs are diverse, and I think we should allow for the needs to be catered for if they're good needs.
Very good. Well, we'll finish it there, Peter.
Yeah, lovely to see you, Tim.
Have a lovely rest of the day on the plot, and we'll speak soon, hopefully with Rachel.
Yes. Yeah, look forward to that.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.